Those of you who pay attention to such things may be aware that most of our Gospel readings this year come from the Gospel according to Mark, but that for the past few weeks they have come from the Gospel according to John. Sometimes you'll hear people object that the three-year cycle of Bible readings that we follow, which is known as the Revised Common Lectionary, gives a year each to Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and that it therefore pushes out the fourth one, John. Now, if that were true, it would indeed be a concern because the other three are actually much more similar to each other, so John is hardly the one that you would want to leave out. But fortunately, it's not true. John's Gospel gets just as much attention in the lectionary as the other three, but it's spread out over all 3 years, precisely because it's so different from the other ones. And because Mark is the shortest of the Gospels, we get even more of John this year than we do in the other 2 years. One of the things that's really different about John's Gospel is that it doesn't have any account of Jesus sharing the bread and wine with his followers at the Last Supper. But instead, there is this amazing reflection in chapter 6 that follows on directly from the story of the feeding of the 5,000 in the desert. It's this reflection about Jesus as the bread of life and about sharing in the body and blood of Christ. The section is so rich and at times so shocking that it's difficult to know where to start with it as a preacher, but at least it gets spread over 5 weeks so I can have several goes at it if I need to. The most shocking element of it is that the imagery that Jesus uses is literally cannibalistic. We heard Jesus conclude tonight's section by saying, "Whoever eats this bread will live forever, and the bread that I give for the life of the world is my flesh." We can't easily escape the gruesome cannibalistic overtones of that. It's no surprise that one of the charges against the early Christians was that they were practicing cannibalism. And I don't think we're supposed to escape that image, but actually that particular aspect of the imagery is more fully developed in next week's extract, so I'm going to put off tackling it further until then and look at something different tonight. What I want to look at tonight is something of what Jesus means when he says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." And I'm going to take some of what we heard from the letter to the Ephesians to help illustrate what that might be about. At first glance, you might want to suggest that Jesus is just using some classic advertising speak here, something straight out of Marketing 101. Because the first thing that any advertiser knows is that everyone has a feeling that something is missing, and that there's something more that they need that will bring lasting satisfaction. But that most people don't have any very precise sense of what it is that's missing. And therefore, if you are marketing a product and you manage to create the impression that your product might be the missing thing that will finally fill the hole and give them lasting satisfaction, then you've hit pay dirt and you can be sure of good sales. If you analyse the ads on TV any night of the week, you will see that same message coming through time and time again. The missing thing from your life, here it is. So when Jesus says, "Eat this bread and you'll never be hungry again," it does sound a lot like a bit of classic advertising spin. But if it is supposed to be advertising spin, then Jesus completely stuffs it up from here on, because as we will hear in 2 weeks' time, by the time he's finished, pretty much everybody reckons that what he's offering is completely unpalatable and they are leaving him in droves, according to the reports. And when he asks his disciples whether they want to give up on him and leave him too, their answer gives the impression that they probably would if they hadn't already burned all their bridges and they didn't have anywhere left to go. Marketing or not, one thing Jesus is clearly doing is contrasting two different things and calling us to choose between them. He says, "Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. I am the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die." As God had said to the people through Moses centuries before, "I put before you life and death. Therefore, choose life." We might say here that Jesus is talking about the bread of life and the bread of death. Therefore, choose the bread of life. But what people initially take offence at is the way he identifies himself as the bread of life. "Who does he think he is?" they begin saying. We know who he is. We know where he came from. This is Jesus, son of Joseph. We know his dad and his mum. How can he say, "I've come down from heaven"? In other words, what they're objecting to is the idea that the gift of life in God might be known in an ordinary human being, someone whose origins are no different from ours. Because if it's somebody ordinary, why him and not me? Why him and not one of us? And the first thing that I want you to note is how Jesus answers, because he quotes scripture, but not in a way that argues that he is unique and different from everyone else. He quotes a line from the prophets that says, "And they shall all be taught by God." And then he says that everybody who has heard and learned from the Father will get this. So in fact, he's suggesting that it could just as easily have been any of them. That God's ways and God's gifts can be known in anyone who embraces them and lives them and shares them. Which is where I want to jump over to our reading from the letter to the Ephesians, where the apostle says, "Put away from you all malice and bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us." Again, we're being given this image of two different ways, and we're called to choose between them. Or we could say two different breads that we can choose to eat. On the one hand, there is the bread of bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander and malice. And on the other hand, the apostle speaks of the bread of kindness, compassion, forgiveness, and love. And in the words of the apostles, "therefore choose life" becomes "therefore choose to imitate God by choosing the bread of kindness, compassion, forgiveness, and love." Each week, as we break the bread at this table here, we pray with some words from St. Augustine. "Let us receive what we are, let us become what we receive." This image of becoming what we receive is, at one level, just basic biology. We are what we eat. What we feed on becomes part of us. And Jesus works with this image as he calls us to feed on the bread of life, to feed on him. Receive what you are. Become what you receive. Will you become people of bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander and malice, or people of kindness, compassion, forgiveness, and love? It all depends on what you feed on. The options are laid before you. The difficulty for many people, though, is that both can look like they are from God. If you've been fed on images of God as angry and full of wrath and fairly bursting to vent his anger in a fiery punishment of sinners, then being people of bitterness and anger and wrath can very easily be dressed up in spiritual language and made to sound like it is simply a fierce loyalty to the righteousness of God. If that's your God, then be imitators of God could very quickly lead you down that path. Which is exactly why Jesus makes such a bold claim about himself. I am the bread of life. It's why the apostle so explicitly links imitating God with the exact opposite of anger and wrath. They know how deceptive that path is. They know that Marketing 101 has got that path all sewn up, because the easiest way in the world to unite people and make them feel good about themselves is to unite them against a common enemy. Onward, Christian soldiers marching us to war, and off we go to rid the world of the latest plague of sinners that are corrupting our children. And we all feel united and excited and pure and righteous and as we march off down the road of anger and wrath all the way to bitterness and malice and death. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, says Jesus, and then they still managed to think they were doing the will of God by marching into the promised land and waging a campaign of genocide. So they died. Those who live by the sword die by the sword. You are what you eat. Feed on bitterness and bitterness and wrath will consume you. They fed on the bread of death, and they died. Feed on me, the bread of life, says Jesus. Feed on my ways. Feed on what you are and become what you feed on. Be imitators of God, says the apostle, of the God made known in Jesus, the bread of life. Feed on the bread of kindness, compassion, forgiveness, and love. Of course, the way that you imagine God to be is not the only thing driving this. It's also about our basic practices of dealing with our own feelings and emotions and behaviours towards one another. What you feed on will consume you. We can be emotionally like a cow chewing on its cud, and whatever you chew on the longest will shape you the most. When somebody hurts you or offends you or makes you angry, what are you going to do with it? Well, what kind of person do you want to become? You can feed on the bread of anger and hurt and the desire for vengeance and payback. You can chew on those things over and over and over, and you will become what you chew on. What you feed on will consume you, and you will eventually be consumed by the bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander and malice that you are chewing on. Or in other words, you will die. Or you can feed on the bread of kindness and compassion and forgiveness and love. You can make a conscious choice to spit out the wad of bitterness and anger and choose to forgive. Choose to love. Choose to relinquish the right to retaliate. Jesus doesn't give any guarantee that that will work out well for you in terms of changing the other people's behaviour. They might take advantage of your graciousness and go right on hurting you. They took Jesus out and tortured him to death. So he's not promising that this will make anyone treat you better. He is promising that what you feed on will consume you and become who you are. He is promising that it will change you. So in a few minutes, when we have prayed, we are going to come to this table, and here we will be asked to make a choice. The choice that we make symbolically here is the choice that Jesus is calling us to live out throughout the week. Before you lies the bread of death and the bread of life. The bread of life offers himself to you and for you in love, in compassion, in brokenness, laying down his life for you that you might feed on him and become a body of kindness, compassion, forgiveness, and love. Therefore, choose life, the bread of life, and may what you feed on consume you.